Councillor Mercier. Councillor Hamid. Councillor Morris. Councillor Nguyen. Councillor Champagne is with us via Skype. Can you hear me, Colin? Send me a text if you can hear me. Yep, okay. And I'll talk about Skype in just a second, too. Councillor Speakman. Councillor Hodgson. Councillor Huang.
Present.
Councillor Zhang.
Present.
Councillor Grehan. Councillor Binchik. Is that right? And Councillor Douglas.
Yep.
And I think I saw Mr. Dumichel here somewhere. There. Excellent, and I am here. Okay. So, welcome to the first sort of formal official council meeting of 2013-2014. Just to give you a little bit of announcements, I'll probably do more announcements tonight than I usually do, but I'll start the meeting with announcements all the time. I'm going to talk about a few things in speaker's business and then talk a little bit more about some of the intricacies of Robert's Rules of Order when you see that presentation on your order paper. So first off, just as I mentioned, there are unfortunately no microphones in this room, as former Speaker Ty mentioned. We unfortunately weren't able to secure the TELUS room, so this is about the best room we could find. We'll see how this works. Again, I encourage you to perhaps stand up if you need to project yourself. If you need to, you're also welcome to come up here and use this mic. I don't see it in here, but I believe this room can also have a wireless mic, so if there's challenges with that tonight, I'll look into getting a wireless mic that can be passed around as speaking turns go along. As well, if you have any thoughts on how we do room configuration after, these tables are rollable and so on, so I encourage you to contact myself or Councillor Borden as CAC Chair, and perhaps CAC can talk about if you have any suggestions on this. If it makes more sense to have this room in a slightly different configuration for the meetings, we can certainly arrange that. Friendly reminder that if you haven't already, feel free to grab your name tag up there, your placard. It helps me to identify you, and it also helps to identify whether you're here as a visitor or whether you're here as a voting member. So if you're also a proxy for someone, I encourage you to pick it up as well, just so I know that you're a voting member, because when we vote, we typically raise placards, and then I know who the voting members are. Just a reminder as well, if you haven't already signed a confidentiality agreement, please ensure that you get in touch with Nicole. I'm not sure if she has copies here. If not, you can certainly get your copies. I think she indicates we have some here, so drop one up here at any point and sign one of those. If you haven't signed one of those yet, you aren't able to participate in in-camera sessions, so it's important that you sign one of those, and that includes for proxies as well. If you're just proxying for tonight or whatnot, no real need to do it up front. If we have to go in-camera, you can just sign one then, but if you're an ongoing member, we'll just sign one up front, and then we'll have it for the year. A couple of announcements in terms of motions. With the consent of Vice President Lay, we're going to make a couple of commentary editorial amendments to a couple of the items on the order paper here. I've actually laid them out here, and my intention is to have all of the all of the order paper items, all the motions and so on, up here so that if we do make amendments and so on, I can make them on the fly here so that hopefully it's a little bit easier to read. Again, I welcome your feedback on how we conduct these meetings. You can certainly send them to me or to CAC, and CAC can have that dialogue as well. So just a couple of amendments. The first motion, item 6A, Leigh Chellin moved that Students' Council, on the recommendation of the Executive Committee, approve the addendum to the Memorandum of Agreement and Understanding between the Students' Union and Student Care, and then we struck that carried at the end, which was just a carryover from the original Executive Committee motion. And then a little bit later on, for a couple of the appointments where there are two members that are appointed, we just pluralized members. So just a couple of editorial amendments, just for your information, because we haven't introduced those items yet. Those items are the exclusive ownership of whoever introduces them, or whoever moves them, in this case Vice President Lay. So Vice President Lay has the option of amending them as he sees fit before they're brought up in the meeting. You probably saw my contact email. I hope you guys all received it. I think I have all of you on the list. If you didn't, let myself and Nicole know, and we'll make sure that you're on the mailing list. But my email address is speaker@su.ualberta.ca. You can get in touch with me anytime there. If you have any questions that perhaps can be answered over email, or if you want to meet and discuss anything, I'm certainly here as a resource. And let me tell you, it makes life a lot easier for everyone if you present a properly worded motion when we get here, as opposed to having to make a bunch of amendments on the fly and so on. So if you're unsure of exactly how to proceed with a motion or how you would want to make something happen at council, I'm here as a resource for you. So please, by all means, come and talk to me. One other thing before that, when we are in debate, and I'll talk a little bit about how debate rules work in that presentation, but if you do wish to speak, just for sanity's sake, I tend to keep a speaker's list, so if you want to get on that list, I just go in priority of first come, first serve, with an exception of alternating between opposing sides, which I'll talk about, but just raise your placard and I'll nod to you or acknowledge you, and then I'll write you down on the speaker's list, and then we'll just go through that list as time permits and as we go along. As I mentioned, Councillor Champagne is currently Skyping in. He's out of town, I believe. I've began a conversation with the chair of CAC to have CAC look at how we want to handle teleconferencing and video conferencing and so on. In the interim, I'm going to permit it, as I understand in my year and also in last year, we permitted this as a practice. We should probably formalize it at some point, but we can deal with that at some point. In the interim, just a couple of guidelines about it. It's sort of on a need-to-have sort of thing, so if you're going to be out of town or something like that and you're unable to get a proxy, we can do it then, but I want to minimize it as much as possible just to ensure that it's not too onerous on council. So if you're in town and you just don't feel like taking the train down here, I would advise you to perhaps take the train down here. As well, and sort of related to that, we'll make our best efforts to ensure that you're engaged in the dialogue. However, technology glitches can happen, and we sort of reserve the right to continue proceeding with council proceedings, even if Skype goes out or whatnot. So that's sort of a risk you take if you go with Skype. And just because of the privacy and confidentiality and security issues, I'm not going to permit any Skyping during in-camera sessions. So you won't be able to participate in in-camera sessions because I can't verify the authenticity of what's going on the other end and so on. So those are my guidelines for now. Again, council through CAC can certainly develop their own other guidelines through council standing orders if they so choose. With that being said, that's all I have for speakers' business. So as we do at the sort of each trimester, we have an installation ceremony. So if I could get all the members of council to stand up, and we're going to recite this out loud. So, if you want to do it with me, I am not here for me.
I am not here for me.
I am here for the people
that lend me their power in exchange for a promise. I will keep that promise to make decisions with the interests of my own. I will vote after knowing the facts, not before. I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own. I will vote on ideas, not people. I will think before I speak, not speak just to think. I will take the job seriously, or not take the job at all. I will represent my students' interests, not my own. I am not here for me.
Thank you. You can be seated. So that's all I have for speakers' business. With that, one more announcement. The next meeting of Students' Council will take place on May 21st, 2013. With that, we move into presentations. Item 2A, Introduction to Robert's Rules of Order and SU Governance, presented by myself. However, as you may know, I'm not actually a voting member of Council, so I would need someone to move and second. That's what I look for, someone to do that. Thank you, Vice President Chellen. Do we have a seconder for that item? Councillor Binchik, right? Yes, thank you. Okay, Councillor Binchik, seconds. Is there any objection to hearing this presentation? Seeing none, the presentation will proceed. I would actually ask the Chair of CAC to come up so that I can participate in this without actually chairing the meeting. So, Councillor Gordon, if you want to come up and just take over for me, the idea being the chair isn't really supposed to participate in the dialogue. So as PAC chair, Councillor Borden is also deputy speaker under bylaw 100. So I'm going to take over, grab the keyboard here and take over this presentation. And then Councillor Borden can moderate conversation or whatnot as we need. So feel free to sit down, so I will stand. Okay. So, sorry.
Would it be possible to start with this?
You know what? Actually, it's going to screw up my dual screen, so I would actually prefer not to. My apologies. If you need to, you can certainly jump over here so you can see it. I will be walking through all of what I'm talking about here, though, as well. So you should be able to follow along with that as well. I can certainly provide... Actually, I was going to say I can provide this on email, but I believe, Nicole, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we have a section on the council website that we will upload presentation documents. So on the council webpage, su.dover.ca/council, you can find this presentation. And I'll actually start the stopwatch for you because I only have 30 minutes. Okay, so I just, as new members of council, I want to give a bit of an introduction into Robert's Rules of Order and sort of the general governance system of the SU. I'm happy to take questions throughout, but if there are about things that you think may be coming up later in the presentation, maybe just wait to take them at the end. But if it's something that's relevant right then, you can certainly raise your hand and Madam Chair will acknowledge you to direct questions. So let's start with a SU organizational chart. So you probably can't see this from here, and that's not the point. But actually, the whole point with this chart is to say the SU is a relatively complex organization. It's one of the largest students unions in the country. We've got a large number of staff, and we have a fairly large organizational structure. And there's a certain specific role that council plays in that. And there's different roles that other people obviously play in it as well. So I'm going to zoom in on the top part there, and that's what this next slide is here. So you can see Students Council at the very top. Under Students Council lay a couple of constructs and officers of Students Council. So both myself and the Chief Returning Officer report directly to Students Council so that we don't report to any sort of operational staff within the organization, but we report directly to you as council. We also report through CAC on occasion just for the sake of maintaining sanity, if you will. It's easier to have these sort of dialogues and so on in CAC as well. So CAC also takes on that role. The executive committee is one of the committees under council, and each of the execs are a member of the executive committee. And it's a sort of linear pathway there. So you see the VPs don't actually report to the president. The VPs report to the executive committee and then up to council. And then you'll see below the president, there's also one other, on the advocacy side, there's one other staff member that reports to the president. But the general manager, Michelle, reports directly to the president. And it's the general manager's job to ensure the operations of the organization are going on. So to maintain the staff and to maintain all those levels of staff and to ensure the day-to-day operations are going on in the organization as directed by the executive committee. So for those of you that are familiar with governance, it's a concept called delegated authority. Basically, council is a whole bunch of people and they only meet once every 2 weeks for a few hours. So it's impractical to say that council can manage the day-to-day affairs of the students' union, which is why you have, as your representatives in the organization, these lovely executives over here, it's their job to ensure that the general manager is getting the guidance he needs to run the day-to-day organization based on sort of the 30,000 feet view that council directs the executive. So that's sort of a bit of an idea how the organizational chart works. Obviously, council has a number of other committees that work under it that a number of you sit on, but the executive committee sort of has a special role, and they're there obviously all day. So I want to talk a little bit about the legislative structure that we as Students' Council work under. So the top one is PSLA, or the Alberta Post-Secondary Learning Act. So it's basically where we derive all of our authority from. It explicitly says that there will be a student association at every post-secondary institution, and it will be governed by a council. So that's you guys. So that's where you derive your authority from to conduct business on behalf of students through the Students' Union. outside of the PSLA, you create a number of different rules. I think
this is the next slide.
Yeah. So, obviously, the Post-Secondary Learning Act is outside of your control, but you've given authority through it. Then, based on that authority, you write certain sets of rules that the organization is bound to. So, there are Students' Union bylaws, which you're probably familiar with, particularly of interest to council is Bylaw 100. I strongly encourage you to read it if you haven't already. It's not a super long bylaw, but it really applies to you when it talks about standing committees and some of the other things. These are all available on the SU website, su.ualberta.ca. Under the governance section, there's a section called Bylaws and Policies. You can read all these there. There are also political policies and operating policies. They are basically derive their authority through bylaw. So there's a bylaw that says the SU can create political policies on opinion, on political matters. There's a bylaw that says the SU can create operating policies that the executive committee can maintain to ensure that the employees and the day-to-day operations of the students' union are going on as the executive and therefore as council seems fit. And then there are the standing orders of council, which are rules developed by council for actually conducting business in council. And then I place Robert's Rules of Order, understanding orders, simply in the sense of precedence. So basically, when something is above something else, it takes precedence if there's a conflict between the rules. So if Robert's Rules says one thing, but we have a standing order that says, for example, Robert's Rules says speaking turns for each person are 10 minutes. Our standing orders say speaking minutes are 6 minutes. Standing orders wins. Conversely, if there's something in the bylaws, then the standing orders and the Robert's Rules wouldn't necessarily apply, nor would the policies. If there's something in the Post-Secondary Learning Act that we can or can't do, then we have to abide by that, and again, that's outside of our control, save for the Vice President external advocating to provincial government for changes. Inside of what the Students' Union creates, I've highlighted some of the areas that are more or less enacted by council. So basically the same areas with exception of operating policy. That's not to say that council doesn't have a role in that they delegate the authority to the execs to write those operating policies. What it means is that council doesn't necessarily have to approve operating policies. The exec have the authority and the council has given them to write those policies on their own. Of course, council can take up with the executive if they have concerns with the policy or if they have concerns with executives writing policies. That's authority they delegated to them. But because the executives are tasked with the day-to-day operations of the organization, they're in the best position to write those policies. Standing orders of council and political policies are written by two of council's subcommittees, Policy Committee and CAC, but they come up through council for approval. And then bylaws, again, are drafted by bylaw committee, but they're approved at the council level. Sorry, that yellow didn't turn out very nicely. But basically, these, I highlighted to say, these are in most cases what are most applicable to council business. So council's required to follow SU bylaw, and council will always follow SU bylaw, and it's as long as I'm doing my job, in what it's doing. Council is also bound by standing orders and Robert's Rules in terms of how they conduct their meetings. Not to say the other areas don't apply, but they just come up much less often in council. So these are the areas when you're actually in the council meeting and when you're making decisions that sort of are most relevant for you in the rulemaking process. This is a slide up to which rules in which council can associate break or suspend, as we like to call it in Robert's Rules. So if you don't like SU bylaw, you can't just decide not to follow it. You can decide to change it if you want, and then you wouldn't be breaking it. But for example, if there's a rule in council, let's say that this presentation can only go on for 30 minutes, but it's going really long and I'm more engaging than I actually am and you want to listen to me for longer, someone could make a motion to suspend the rules so that we could continue this debate a little bit longer. So those are the rules which council can break without actually changing the rules. I think I'm going to jump into Robert's Rules of Order now. So any questions on sort of governance structure or anything I've touched on so far? Mr. Rao?
Very gross.
I'll leave that to CAC to decide. I know at one point there was a conversation about the speaker getting robes, but I haven't heard anything about it for a few years, so I'll leave that to CAC's prerogative. Robert's Rules of Order. This lovely book here. It is a riveting 699-page read. Thankfully, You get me to read it. That's my job, so that you guys don't have to read it. It's fairly dry. It's fairly specific, fairly technical. If you want to read it, by all means. This is the 11th edition, the most current edition. It's fairly new. There's also, I failed to bring it. I should have brought it along. I have the 10th edition version of Robert's Rules in Brief. It's about a 100-page document. Nick goes over all of these sort of basic rules that, you know, you're going to deal with 98% of the time. And so if you are really interested in learning a little bit more about Robert's Rules, I suggest that book instead. It's not too bad of a read. You know, if you have a couple hours, you can probably get through it. So, again, I'm not sure if we have a copy in the office, but if not, the library may have it, or you can certainly get it at the bookstore. So the original copy was written by Henry Martin Robert in 1876, and it's basically a universal guide for assemblies of any type. So it's not designed to be specific to a specific type of assembly. It's designed to be universal so that any assembly of any size can work with it. As I mentioned, these are what we call Robert's Rules. Standing orders are basically rules, on top of that that counsel the sides. So Robert's Rules make sense 98% of the time, but there are some things in Robert's Rules that maybe don't make sense, like the 10-minute speaking turns I talked about. Maybe we don't want to take that long. And there are some things that aren't included in Robert's Rules. For example, presentations, like what we're doing right now, don't actually exist in Robert's Rules. So they're created in council standing orders so that we can sort of supplement Robert's Rules with things that make sense for us. So if it's not in Robert's Rules, we can still make it happen if it makes sense to council. And just so you know, standing orders can be changed by either council or the council administration committee. Generally speaking, just because it's more practical to do so, CAC generally makes those changes, and the conversation about those changes goes on in CAC. So again, I would encourage you to get in touch with the CAC chair if you have. I told you everything that's not anyone else's problem is your problem. I encourage you to get in touch with the CAC chair if you want to have a conversation about the standing orders. So, in Robert's Rules, any business that comes up has to be in the form of a motion. So, I move that we do this, or I move that we create this law or bylaw, or I move that we set this policy, or so on. A member must obtain the floor before moving a motion. So, you can't just jump up and say, I want to make a motion while someone else is talking. Generally speaking, all of our motions are already on the order paper, so there's not some coming up just sort of ad hoc anyway. They can happen, and I'll talk about them in a minute. But you have to make sure it's the right time before you make a motion, and I'll certainly tell you, if you try and make a motion when you're not able to, I will rule it out of order. That's what I mean by that. Motions have to be moved and then seconded, like we did for this presentation. Basically, that's just to ensure that at least two people think that we should talk about this. If there's only one person in the room that thinks we should talk about it, probably not a worthwhile use of everyone's time. Once the motion has been stated by the speaker, it can't be withdrawn without unanimous consent. So I was saying before that Vice President Lay was able to make changes because we hadn't actually introduced the motion yet. Once the motion is introduced and it's being debated upon, Vice President Lay can't just unilaterally change the motion or withdraw it or anything like that. He needs the unanimous consent of council to do that. Late editions. So you've probably seen that we produce another document in addition to the order paper called late editions. So the order paper comes out Friday afternoons. Late editions come out Tuesday afternoons. So they're basically things that don't make it onto the order paper. There's a specific purpose for late editions, and they tend to get abused quite regularly. If something is on late editions, I'll tell you how I will deal with it. And this is a practice that I took when I was speaker last time, and I think a number of speakers take it. I'm not sure if Speaker Ty held this practice, but something on late editions is not assumed to be dealt with at this meeting. If it's something urgent that we need to talk about, then we can move it onto the main agenda. But I will announce up front if there's anything I think on the late editions that needs to be moved onto the main agenda. If I don't announce it, assume that something on here isn't going to be dealt with. So if you think it needs to be dealt with, then you need to make a motion to say, you know, I move that we move this item from the late editions onto the main order paper so that we deal with it today. The reason why you don't necessarily want to add things from the late editions onto the main order paper to be dealt with this meeting normally is there's a reason why they come out so early. It gives people an opportunity to review them. Perhaps there's a general member of, you know, student body somewhere that wants to speak to the, or, you know, has an opinion or wants to come hear the debate or something like that. Or there's a member of council that feels particularly strongly about it, and they need to ensure that they're able to attend the meeting, whereas if they get it on 2 hours' notice, it's a little bit trickier to attend. So basically, unless you've got a pressing reason for something to come off late additions onto the main agenda, that it would be really detrimental for us to wait until next meeting to deal with it, then we'll deal with it next meeting. Like I said, if there's something I think is really pressing, I will automatically, I have the authority to move it onto the order paper. If I don't do that, council through a vote can also choose to move it onto the order paper. But just don't necessarily assume that late additions will be moved onto the order paper. This time, actually, it's good. There's no motions. There's just reports. So we don't actually have to do anything with them. They're just for your information. So debate. I'm going to speed through this pretty quickly so that you can ask any questions you might have. But debate is limited to 2 speaking turns per member for each item we're dealing with. So you know, the motion for each nomination for nominations are a bad example. The motion that we approve the addendum to the memorandum of agreement. For that particular motion, each member of council has 2 speaking turns, up to 6 minutes each. If someone hasn't spoken yet, they get preference over someone that's already spoken, and I will try to alternate between opposing sides, so people in favor of the motion and people against the motion. Whoever moves the motion, so in this case Vice President Lay, will get to speak first in 2 capacities. First off, they'll have the option to introduce the motion, so this isn't debating it or saying why they like it or so on, it's just explaining what the motion is, what its effect is, and so on. After they're done with that introduction, they also have the first opportunity to debate it. So then to go into why they think it's a good idea or why you should vote for it and that sort of thing. After that, we'll jump back and forth. Yes, Councillor Mohammed, thank you.
You get 6 minutes for introduction, then?
No, generally, there's no hard and fast rule for this, but generally speaking, introduction should be under 2 minutes. Anything other than that is probably going to be seen as a dilatory tactic. Again, it's not intended to be able to say why you think the motion is a good motion or anything like that, but just to clarify what the motion would do. So if I think you're just starting to stall or go on and on, I'll probably tell you to wrap it up, but there's no hard and fast rule for that. Yes, Council Speaker.
I've left over minutes from your first speaking turn, next from hold to your second speaking.
No. So if you only speak for 1 minute on your first speaking turn, you still only get 6 minutes on the next one. Okay. Again, I said I'll try and alternate between for and against. This is fairly important. Any conversation that you have is intended to be directed to the speaker. And what that means is if Vice President Woods is making a statement and Councillor Speakman disagrees with him, Councillor Speakman would say, Mr. Speaker, here's what I think about the idea. I'm not sure if Vice President Woods has the same opinion as me, etc., etc. So basically speaking in the third person. The reason why you do that is so that you don't end up turning into this like one-on-one, demolition derby debate that's going on. So we try and maintain what's called the quorum, so basically good, friendly atmosphere. And so that's why it's important to direct things through the speaker. And if the first few weeks, they'll take some time to get used to that, and I'll certainly let you know and just correct you if you're saying, you instead of Councillor so-and-so or Vice President so-and-so and so on. As I said, avoid addressing members by name. Again, that helps just ensure decorum. So instead of saying Adam, I would say Vice President Woods. It's also against the rules to attack the motives of members. So you can't say, I think this person is bringing this motion forward because, some sort of personal motive about them. Vice President Chong?
Mr. Speaker, is there a reason why we use titles and last names instead of first names?
There, again, the idea is so that you're not attacking the person so much, that it's a little bit more civil, if you will. In fact, in formal Roberts rules, where every individual has a different title, you don't even use the last name. You just would use Mr. President or Mr. Vice President, Matt Hassler or whatever the case may be. Because so many people have the same titles here, we don't have that luxury, so we use last names. But that's the reason why we direct it through the chair, and we also don't speak with the first names. That also applies to me, so because I only have one title, generally the practice is to call me Mr. Speaker, or in this case, Madam Speaker, Madam Chair, actually. She's just filling in, but that's how you would generally deal with that. Again, you also can't debate comments that aren't germane. So if we're debating a motion about, approving a memorandum of agreement, you can't just come up and start debating about why you think Juicy should or shouldn't sell ice cream. That's not at all relevant to the current debate that's going on. If you really want it, you can bring forward a motion at some other point that says Juicy should sell ice cream or Juicy shouldn't sell ice cream, but that would have to be a separate motion. Councillor Greenham, did you have a question?
So if you're not supposed to attack members by voters and members, how are you supposed to, like, what should you do if you think someone is in a common room?
You could rise. That would be rising on a point of order, and I'll talk about points of order a little bit later, because there's actually a rule that says you aren't allowed to speak if you, you know, or you aren't allowed to vote, excuse me, on certain things that you have a conflict of interest in certain cases. So that's actually a rule. But for example, if it was just, you know, I think that Vice President Woods isn't supporting this because I don't think he likes me or something like that, that would be what would be out of line. So in terms of conflicts that would be violating specific rules, then you can rise on a point of order to say, I don't believe Councillor so-and-so should be voting on this item. Although we would have to clarify in bylaw 100, I'm not certain whether it also precludes you from debating or whether it just precludes you from voting on the item. So we would have to refer to that. There are some items that don't come up terribly often, and so I will probably take a two-minute recess for sometimes when an item is brought up just to refer to my little master book to make sure we're doing things properly. But for things that come up the majority of the time, we will deal with them as they come up. So voting, we typically do it as a show of hands, again, a show of placards. Exception is nominations, which just in the interests of trying to avoid people talking to their friends or going along with the crowd or whatever the case may be, we do the good old-fashioned put your head down and then throw your hand up when you want to vote for someone. So that's just a practice that we've always exercised here at Council. And there's something called a call for division. Basically what this does is it means that I will take a roll call and actually ask for everyone's vote individually, and then that vote is on the record. So any member of council can ask for division. You just have to say call for division. And then I will read through and actually ask every individual member for their vote if for some reason you want everyone's vote to be on the record in the minutes. As you mentioned, it's a good idea to abstain on matters of direct personal interest. You can request to have your abstention noted, so you can abstain anytime you want, so not voting for or against. You don't necessarily need to have that noted unless you would like to. If you have a conflict of interest, I would recommend you rise and say, I'd like my abstention noted. But if you don't say anything, then I'm just going to assume you don't want it noted. So if you don't vote for or against, that's okay. You're just assumed to have abstained. If you want your abstention noted, just say, Mr. Speaker, may my abstention be noted, and then we'll make sure it's noted on the minutes. Again, review bylaw 100 in its entirety, but section 19 in particular deals with conflicts of interest. Straw polls also aren't in order, so I'm not able, and a member of council isn't able to sort of put a feeler out and say, well, you know, right now, what do you think people are feeling? You know, how many people right now would vote in favor of this? And then we're not able to do that. You have to have a formal vote on it if you want to formally vote on it. Council format, we do speaker's business every time with attendance. We also do attendance at the end of the meetings. Presentations, again, they're a new concept of standing orders. They're not actually built into Robert's rules. They're restricted to 30 minutes, including questions, and I only have 8 minutes left, so I'm going to try and rifle through this. Executive and committee reports, there are often written reports that are compiled from the committees, but the committee chairs and the members of the executive are also entitled, if they so choose, to have an oral report of up to 2 minutes, and I'll usually ask if anyone would like that as we get to that section. Question period, there's a 15-minute question period, so again, I will just do sort of a speaker's list. You can raise your placard if you'd like a question answered, and then I will acknowledge you as the time goes through. It can be extended once with only five members supporting it. After that, it requires, once you pass 30 minutes, it requires a two-thirds majority vote for every 15-minute increment after that. Written questions take priority, and they'll generally get better answers. So you can certainly submit before the order paper deadline, you know, on Thursday or something, a written question to Nicole to be included in the order paper. I also recommend that you direct it to whoever your question is at. Generally speaking, questions are directed at either committee chairs or members of the executive. Send them a copy, and the reason why it's useful, not only do they take priority, but you can usually get a better answer. They'll either provide a written response, or they'll just have a much more well-informed response when they get here. So we do encourage those sort of questions. And then we deal with board and committee business, so perhaps recommendations from various committees. If bylaw committee has drafted a new bylaw, and we're voting on whether to approve it, or that sort of thing. And then general orders, which are just orders that any member of council puts on the order paper. So again, you would just have to contact Nicole before the submission deadline to ensure your your motion gets on the agenda. Please also include me on those. And again, I would encourage you, unless you're really confident in what you're doing, to contact me first in advance so that I can help you word the question to ensure it has the effect that you want. Couple of brief motions, and actually, Nicole, if you would, I'm going to get you to pass these out to each member of council. These are my little cheat sheet. I love this document. So I found this document when I was speaker, and I encourage you to hold on to it. It's basically a little two-pager that talks about, you know, for each motion, are you allowed to interrupt conversation to do it, or do you have to wait until break? Does it require a seconder? Is it debatable, or do you just have to vote on it immediately? And can it be amended? And we'll talk about amendments in a second. And then whether it requires just a majority vote or two-thirds of the assembly to vote on it. So I encourage you to refer to this, but I'll tell you about a point of parliamentary inquiry in a minute that you can also use to get information. So amending is basically to modify the wording of a motion. So let's say we didn't actually change Vice President Lay's motion before it was introduced, but we wanted to change it after. Then someone could rise and say, Mr. Speaker, I move to amend the motion so that we strike these words and we add these words and we make some different changes to it. We would then have a vote on whether or not to amend it. We would then, once we've voted on whether to amend it, if the amendment passes, then we're back to the main motion and we vote on the main motion as it was changed. If the amendment fails, then we're back to the original motion that isn't changed. Does that make sense? Okay. It also has to be germane. So if you know there was a vote on the approval of this agreement, you couldn't amend it to say an approval on whether we should have puppies and sub or something like that. So you can bring one of those motions forward on your own. That could be interesting. There's also what's called a friendly motion. So because these were mostly editorial amendments, I'll usually ask if anyone has any objection to it being carried as friendly, which means we don't actually have to have a formal vote on it. Just generally speaking, for non-controversial amendments, I'll do that just to save time. If you object to that, that's cool. It just means we'll have a vote on it. So even if you vote in favor of it, but you just want to have a formal vote on the record of it, you can object to the friendly amendment, and then we'll do the regular voting process. A motion to postpone indefinitely is basically a motion to kill an item that's on the agenda where you think it would be it would be advantageous for the issue to not take a position on it. You just basically want the motion to disappear forever. That's called postponing indefinitely. For example, if it's a badly chosen main motion, then it would be advisable to not vote on it. This can't be amended. Call to question is if you want to end debate. So if debate's going on for a long time and I still have a bunch of people on the speakers list, someone can, between speakers, before I acknowledge the next speaker, say, Mr. Speaker, I move to call to question, at which case we'll have a vote on whether to end debate or continue debate. And it needs two-thirds majority to pass. Suspending the rules is what I was talking about before, about saying, you know, if we wanted to extend speaking turns from 6 minutes to 15 minutes, or, for example, sometimes if there's an item that's of particular interest to one member, perhaps of the exec, and you want to give them more than one speaking turn, you can suspend the rules that say you only get two speaking turns. And again, I can help you phrase these. Division of a motion is if you want to split a motion in two, so if it sort of has two main parts of the motion and you want to split them into two different motions, say if you want to vote in favor of one and against another, we can have a vote on whether to split those into two, and then we would deal with them separately if that motion passed. Division of the House, that's different. That's when I was talking about how you can say I move for division of the House and then we will take a roll call when we vote and it's an on-record vote. And if you can't remember all of these precise names, again, just basically tell me what you want to do and I can help you phrase it. You can also appeal the decision of the chair to reverse a ruling if you think I made a wrong ruling. It's debatable but not amendable, requires only a majority vote. I would strongly recommend that, I mean, it's up to you how you use this, but I would only recommend you use this if you think that I've actually made a mistake in the rules, not just if you don't like the rules. If you don't like the rules, then you should make a motion to suspend the rules or change the bylaw or whatever the case may be, because that's certainly within your power as well. A motion to reconsider is reopening debate on something that's already been voted on. It can only be brought forward by someone who is on the prevailing side, so sort of the side that won on the original vote. And it's sort of a sober second thought, if you will, like, oh, geez, maybe that motion wasn't so good after all. We would then have a vote to reconsider. If that vote passed, then we would bring the original item back up for debate to vote in favor or against. You can only bring that up at the same meeting. Point of order is if you think that someone has not followed the rules, if I'm not following the rules, if I missed something on the order paper, if something's going on that shouldn't be going on, you can just rise and say point of order. And again, it talks about it in here, so when it says point of order, it says you can interrupt with this. So if someone's speaking, but they've gone over their 6 minutes, you can write and say point of order, Mr. Speaker, the speaking time has been exceeded, and I will either say point well taken, if it is a point well taken, or point not well taken, which basically means that I actually don't think that the rules were broken, and then we would proceed as we thought forward. Point of personal privilege would be if you aren't able to participate in the meeting. So say if the lights were turned off and you couldn't read the order paper or something like that. You could rise on point of privilege and say, Mr. Speaker, I'm not able to participate, and then I would take the necessary action if I thought that point was well taken. A point of parliamentary inquiry is if you don't know how to do something. So, Mr. Speaker, point of parliamentary inquiry. I would like to make a motion to amend, but I don't know how to phrase it. I will help you phrase it then. So, if you are sure how to do something, just rise on a point of parliamentary inquiry, and I will tell you how the correct process would be to follow that. Request for information. Like I said, this changed from point of information. This is when someone else is speaking, and you want to clarify something they said. So, if I'm in a speaking turn, and someone else wasn't sure on what I said, they could say request for information, and then it would be my choice whether or not to accept that request, because it's actually still part of my speaking term. Now, be very careful with this. This is intended to just clarify. This isn't intended to start a debate, and if a debate starts up, you know, is the counselor aware that, you know, they're wrong type of thing, I will cut it off. So just be very careful. You know, you have your own speaking terms for your own debate, if you'd like. Whew, just got through. Any last questions in the 30 seconds we have? Yes, Councillor Green.
When's the submission deadline?
Friday at 8 a.m. And again, this should come to Nicole and myself. So Nicole's email address is aacouncil@su.uilbury.ca. Yes, Councillor Green.
You mentioned earlier that Council staff orders were amended by Council and CAC.
Yep.
If CAC wants to make changes, does that still have to go, like, be approved by council?
It doesn't have to be approved by council, but it has to be presented as information for council. So in that regard, if council doesn't like it, they could always move to make the change back. But it doesn't have to come for sort of a final approval. It's considered approved when CAC makes the changes. Okay, I think we're out of time. So thank you very much. Thank you, Councilor. Okay, give me 30 seconds to get set back up. Okay, as per standing orders, nominations are a bit of a special case. They happen immediately following any presentations. So we're actually going to deal with nominations on the floor first. If you're up at the table right now, that's cool. But just if everyone else now wants to stay seated, because we'll have to have a little bit of a formality here, so we'll have to get everyone seated in just a moment. The rules for nominations are a little bit different. There's no debate or anything like that. There's a general motion. What'll happen is I will allow the mover to introduce the motion. I'll also permit some basic questions, again, sort of clarification of information towards the mover, if you'd like. Outside of that, there's no formal debate that goes on for these. I'll then call for nominations. So you can raise your placard and either nominate yourself or another member of council. If you nominate another member of council, I'll just ask them whether they accept the nomination or not. And then if we get more nominations than we have seats for, so let's say there's only one seat available and we get three nominations, I will allow about 30 seconds to each member to give a basic spiel about why they feel they should be nominated for this. And then we will have the good old-fashioned heads down, and then, you know, I will read off everyone's name, and you can put hands up for as many spots as there are. So if there's only one seat, you can only vote once. If there's two seats available, you can vote twice. If you have any questions about that at this point, you could rise on the point of parliamentary inquiry. Seeing none, I'm going to move to item 7A. So, Lay moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the First Alberta Campus Radio Association FACRA Board of Directors. First off, can I have a seconder for that motion? Thank you, President Kuzmu. Vice President Lay to introduce briefly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hello, Council. As you can see, there is a set six different motions to appoint members of Students' Council on various boards and committees. So the first one is the First Alberta Campus Radio Association, and their first ZFU that is going up. And so the mandate, as you can see, there is a document attached at the end of your paper just outlining what our bylaws say about the DFU and as well as some of the, the possible board's bylaws regarding the community of the board. And another practice is that the boards or the members of Students' Council who sit on these boards are meant to be a liaison between Students' Council and the DFU, the DFU being a dedicated fee unit. And so you will represent Students' Council's interest to the board and as well pass information from the board to the Students' Council. The reason that this is because all students, they pay a certain part of the collective fee, and we redistribute to the dedicated fee unit, and they're the ones that are listed role there. So just to make sure that the DFUs are taking care of the money that students have.
Thank you, Vice President Lay. Does anyone have any general questions to Vice President Lay before we proceed with nominations? President Kuzma?
Can I make a comment?
Is it a debate or is it a point of information, if you will? Okay, I'm going to allow it. I won't generally allow this, but because this is a new council, we want to make sure they have all the information. So go ahead.
Thank you, Speaker. I currently sit as the council representative to FACRA, essentially. FACRA is a board for CJSR, the campus radio station. There are a bunch of lovely folks. They meet every, I believe, 2 to 3 weeks. The meetings are, normally 2 hours long or so. Right now, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. With some renovations have taken place, they're trying to rethink their space that they currently have. They're also undergoing a strategic visioning exercise. So if you do get elected to be on the board, you'll kind of be come in the middle of the process. But they're really enthusiastic for looking for someone who's passionate about community radio and just will be attending the meetings. A couple years ago, there was really bad council representation on the board because we never showed up. And then after only 2-3 years ago, we opened up pretty good. So, they really want someone who's passionate about it. So, please, jump on.
Thank you, President Kuzma. And just for clarification, if there ever is a case where the mover wouldn't necessarily have all of the information, and perhaps another member of council may have pertinent information that the mover feels would be useful to share, there is also the option that the mover can defer the rest of their speaking turn to that individual, and that would be sort of the proper process. You would obviously have to sort of arrange that before the speaking turn begins. We'll try and make sure you get as much information as we can with this. So we'll do that as we can. And again, I'm only going to allow those sort of deferrals when they're providing useful information and not just carrying on a debate or extraneous content. So with that, we have a nomination on the floor. So I would open the floor to nominations. So like I said, you can raise your placard and nominate yourself or nominate another member of Students' Council. Any nominations for FACRA? Encouraging nominations. Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate myself.
Okay. Obviously, you accept your nomination as well. So we have one nomination. Do we have any further nominations for FACRA? Going once. Going twice. Okay. I will close nominations, seeing as how we had only one nomination. Councillor Hodgson will be acclaimed to the position. So congratulations, Councillor Hodgson. With that, we'll move to item 7B. Lay moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Gateway Student Journalism Society Board of Directors. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Vice President Woods, thank you. Vice President Lay to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So same sort of deal with the assignment dealing with the Gateway or Student Journalism Society. I'll defer to the Gateway in a bit, but the mandate is to ensure that the Gateway follows their mandate as outlined in Bylaw 6000. Where they publish at least 50 issues of the Gateway during the fall and winter semester, and so on and so forth. The board of directors, they meet in the fall and winter semesters no more than 6 weeks apart from each other, and in the summer months, once every 2 months. And so that'll be the time commitment there, but I'll defer to the Gateway if they want to add anything else.
Okay.
Thank you. And just another point on that, because that's also, whenever new things come up that we haven't introduced, I'll sort of explain how they work. So as a member of council, you can defer your speaking privileges to a guest of council. There is one stipulation that they have to sign the guest register. So we have a guest register up here. Normally you would do it beforehand, but in the interests of time, if you do it afterwards, that's not a problem. Just come up and see Nicole and make sure you're formally noted on the record as a guest of council. With that, any general questions to Vice President Lay regarding the position? Seeing none, I will open the floor to nominations for the GSJS Board of Directors. Councillor Hodgson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate myself.
Okay, Councillor Hodgson again accepts on his own behalf. Any further nominations? Thank you. Councillor Mohammed?
I'd like to nominate
Councillor
Minarski.
Councillor Minarski, do you accept?
I accept.
Okay. Councilor Minarski accepts. Any further nominations? Okay, seeing none, we will have our first instance where we have more nominations than we have seats. So we will permit both Councilor Hodgson and then Councilor Minarski in that order to give a spiel of no more than 30 seconds as to, and I will cut you off, as to why you feel you should serve on this board. So Councilor Hodgson first.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason I would like to sit on this board, there were some issues with the GSA last year going for the increase, some things were not done properly. By sitting on the board of directors, I can assist them to ensure that all their interactions with council go smoothly and everything is done properly. As well, I'm slightly familiar with the gateway. I was chair of audit last year. We audit them and go through their mandate. So I'm familiar with that.
Thank you. Councillor Minarski.
For the most part, I would do pretty much the same thing with respect to student council, so work closely with the gateway so that they can get fee increases. But also, I would focus as well on the services that the gateway provides to students, and in particular ways that students can actually become more aware of what the gateway is doing. So, with that regard, for the most part, myself and Councillor Hodgson would serve a similar purpose with regards to Students Union, but I would have the added benefit of promoting the gateway.
Thank you, that's 30 seconds. Okay, so now, as I mentioned, we will have a vote. So I'd like to ask everybody to just put their heads down. And if you would, guests of council, also do that to respect the confidentiality of this. Councillor Champagne, if you choose to vote, just please enter the name of the person you wish to vote for, and I will record it. So again, you only get to vote once. Please raise your placard when you vote and raise it all the way up so that I know who it is you're voting for. Okay, so all in favor of Councillor Hodgson, please raise your placard. Thank you. All in favor of Councillor Minarski, please raise your placard. Thank you. You can lower your placards and raise your hand. Congratulations to Councillor Hodgson. With that, we will move to item 7C. Lay moves to appoint one member of Students Council to the Alberta Public Interest Research Group Board of Directors. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Thank you, Vice President Woods. Vice President Lay to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I think we're nominating a councillor to sit on the eight-party board. We have one member of the eight-party board, but our board of directors as well, too, Councillor Greenman, so I'll defer to him in a moment as well, too. But as it says in Bylaw 6000, the mandate of eight-party is to allow undergraduate students to work on public policy issues through undergraduate research, education, action initiatives. They're located in Hub Mall, and they're pretty open. They're a great bunch to talk to me too about various issues, but they will present to council later on in the year. I look forward to that as well too. The board of directors, they're there to steer and guide papers to do their power of control mandate and to help fund a lot of different initiatives, but I'll refer to Councillor Greenhand to talk more.
Thanks, Vice President Lane. Just to clarify the mandate purpose, let me refer a little bit more. What they mainly do is provide granting to student groups and individual students on campus.
who are working in the public interest. So generally how that's interpreted in 5-8 is anything to do with like social justice or environmental justice. But it's not an entirely super broad range of things like indigenous rights, like food issues, basically what, like anything and everything, because it's completely street driven and it's the like students' initiative. Because we want them to become active citizens and take them, like, give them the resources to do that on their own. And so we also provide a lot of our own programming, like an alternative legal welcome we do every year, for a decolonization on campus. So just a lot of events and things like that. So it's really a great opportunity to be involved on campus as well. So I encourage you to nominate yourself or someone else.
Thank you. With that, I will open the floor to nominations for the APIRG Board of Directors. Councillor Redmond?
Speaker, I nominate Councillor Bannister.
Councillor Bannister, do you accept?
I accept.
Okay. Any further nominations? Vice President Woods?
Mr. Speaker, I nominate Councillor Borden.
Councillor Borden, do you accept? Councillor Borden, do you accept?
No, I accept.
Okay, thank you. Any further nominations? Seeing none, I will close nominations. Congratulations to Councillor Bannister. So moving on, item 7D, Leigh moves to appoint 2 members of Students' Council to the World University Services Canada Board of Directors. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Mohammed. Vice President Leigh to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. WUS, or the World University Services Canada, are the boards that takes care of the Refugee Student Fund, which essentially allows for refugee students in the first, second, third, and fourth year to attend the University of Alberta. And so they can use that. As other ones, you'll be the Students' Council liaison to interesting stuff. That's all.
Thank you. Any questions to Vice President Lake? Councillor Greenhead?
Why are there 2 members?
Vice President Lake?
Two.
I believe the question was why are there 2 members appointed to this board as opposed to 1 for the other boards?
Actually, I'm not 100% sure, but is there any members in that?
I'm going to interpret that as a point of parliamentary inquiry and solve that answer myself, at least to my best knowledge. SU bylaw, I believe it's 6000, that deals with DFUs, mandates that each dedicated unit has at least 1 member of Students' Council that's appointed to their board, either voting or non-voting. However, there's no stipulation in terms of how many that board chooses to allow on their board, either voting or non-voting. So presumably in this case, this board has chosen to allow 2 members of council to be appointed. Any other questions? Seeing none, I will open the floor to nominations. Councillor Mohammed?
I'd like to nominate myself.
Okay, you obviously accept. Councillor Binchik?
I would like to nominate
Councillor
Nguyen.
Councillor Nguyen, do you accept?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm just going to write names. Any further nominations? Seeing none, we will close nominations. Congratulations to Councillor Mohammed and Councillor Nguyen. Okay, moving along. Item 7E, Leigh moves to appoint 1 member of Students' Council to the Student Legal Services Board of Directors. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Seconder. Thank you, Councillor Speakman. Vice President Leigh to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speakman. As outlined in Bylaw 6000, the mandate of Student Legal Services is to assist undergraduate students and members of Edmonton's low-income community with legal services. You'll have here is 1 voting member of Students' Council, and I'll defer my screen turn to Vice President Chubb to fill in any more information.
Thank you for Vice President Lane. Student Legal Services provides low-cost legal services to employees as well as undergraduate students. In many cases, select as an advocate or an undergraduate student in an academic appeal or a student life appeal with the university. They also provide information on things like traffic tickets, parking tickets, or there are legal issues that may affect students or members of the local community here. They are run on a volunteer basis by undergraduate law students.
Thank you. Any questions about this particular nomination? Seeing none, we will open the floor to nominations. Encouraging nominations. Thank you, Councillor Nguyen. All right, Councillor Nguyen nominates herself. Any further nominations? Seeing none, we will close nominations. Congratulations to Councillor Nguyen. Going right along. Item 7F, Lay moves to appoint two members of Students' Council for the Health Center Advisory Group Board of Directors. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Seconder, Councillor Speakman, thank you very much. Oh, by the end of the year, people are just chomping up a bit. We'll see how this goes. Thank you very much, Councillor Speakman. Vice President Lay to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this is for the Health Center Advisory Group, or as we like to call it, HK, as we like our acronym. And this is meant to bring together student stakeholder groups to facilitate communication on the operations and finances of University Wellness Services units with a focus on the health sector. And you'll be joining myself and Vice President on this committee. And you'll get to learn about the budget and financial operations of the health side of campus as done by the university.
Thank you. Any questions about this position? Seeing none, we will open the floor to nominations. Councillor Binchik?
I would like to nominate
Councillor Nguyen, do you accept?
Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Douglas, thank you.
I would like to nominate myself.
Thank you very much. Further nominations? Seeing none, we will close nominations. Congratulations to Councillor Nguyen and Councillor Douglas. Okay, with that, we'll continue on our order paper. As I mentioned, nominations happened right after presentations, so we will move into Executive Committee reports. Would any member of the Executive request an oral report? President Kuzman, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. So, as you guys can see, the main agenda we submitted kind of like a joint report, which is kind of unorthodox, but we are out of our retreat, so we figured we wanted to update you guys on a couple things. The main thing we wanted to update you guys was in regards to the listener disputing results. That was a whole bunch of excellent events on the work that's put in by last year's executive, primarily by last year's president for the MPC. And last year's LGSA leadership as well. We'll be sure to send you guys more details soon. Today was just kind of our first day back in the office. But yeah, that's a big accomplishment that we should be proud of. So just want to give you guys a heads up.
Thank you very much. Any other executive oral reports? Vice President Woods.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This will be quick. I'm not making an addition in terms of reporting, just simply because today's the first day we got to the office. We're just getting settled. There's some technology issues, but everything is great now. I just want to let you guys know that myself and the President will be away for the majority of the month. We will be both at the Council of Auburn University Students Transition as well as the CASA sort of looking forward here. CASA retreat. So we'll be gone for the next couple of weeks. We'll be in and out, but we will not be here for the next council meeting, unfortunately, as well as many of the committee meetings coming up. I will figure out a proxy if any of you are interested for proxying on bylaw or policy for me, or work for that matter. I greatly appreciate it, and hopefully summer is off to a great start for you guys.
Thank you. Any other executive oral reports? Seeing none, we will move on to board and committee reports. Are there any committee chairs that would care to have an oral report? Thank you, Councillor Borden.
Hi. Culver retreats on the 24th and the 25th, and Discover Governance wants everyone to email them if they're coming by May 11th. So I think everyone will have to email to register, and probably no one has done so far, so just do it.
And I believe there is an email address that people can contact you at. I'm not certain whether that is now SGO or SGA that's taking care of that, so we will send out a confirmation email in that regard as well. Too. Yes, Councilor? Perfect. Okay, so SGO at su.uolberta.ca would be where you send your request with that. Any other committee chairs with a oral report? Thank you, Councillor Grehan. Is it Grehan or Grehan?
It's Grehan.
Grehan, thank you.
But don't worry about it.
Feel free to correct me.
Yeah, I'm going to the chair of bylaw committee. I don't really have reports, but I just thought I would let everybody know that in regards to the dieboard rulings that is in the order papers, that the bylaw committee would have to be reviewing the conflict of interest bylaws this year, so hopefully that doesn't really happen as much anymore. So you'll probably be hearing from the year across the bylaw committee in general. We haven't really had an official meeting yet, but we'll definitely be doing some consultation like within council or council and stuff like that. So you'll be hearing more about that in the future and other interesting bylaw going on once we sort of get the ball rolling. But I hope that just puts the people's minds a little bit more at rest. Like we did something for or will be.
Thank you. Any other committee chairs for an oral report? Vice President Lay, for any particular... You chair two committees, correct? Which committee would you care? Or both?
Yeah,
okay, we'll do them individually. So you do have the option to speak to both, but we'll do them individually. So we'll do the grant allocation committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We haven't had a meeting yet, but we're going to have a first meeting on Thursday at 5:30. I think there's going to be a lot of topics to be covered this year. Of the grant allocation committee, so feel free to join. And budget and finance committee will be meeting next week. The date will be confirmed later on, but that just adds up if you'd like to come on my plane.
Thank you very much. Vice President Lay, do you need a report for BFC? Or?
Oh, no.
Okay, thank you. And just a reminder to members of council that while unless you're a member of that particular committee, you can't vote, you are, of course, always welcome to attend the committee meetings and listen in. CAC being a special case where you are all voting members of the council administration committee. With that, we will move on from board and committee reports and move to question period. So as I mentioned, question period is 15 minutes long to begin with. If there are written questions, they take precedence. There are no written questions here, so you can rise to ask your question. Again, I will give priority to people who haven't asked questions yet, so if you have a few questions, you can only ask one at a time, and if time permits, we'll get back to you once other folks have asked their question. But if even while a question's going on, you can raise your placard, and I will add you to the speaker's list once I acknowledge you, and then you can set your placard back down. Councillor Speakman? Yes.
So are the questions supposed to be about items previously on the agenda that we just went through?
No, not necessarily. Questions have to be directed to an individual person. If you aren't sure which, for example, executive to direct them to, you can ask my assistance in getting advice, or you can perhaps direct them to the president, who can then defer to the relevant president. But they can be about any substance matter that's relevant to students' council proceedings, not necessarily what's going on in this committee. So. You can ask questions really of any nature. Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for President Kuzmu. I'm just wondering what led to the sudden success of the issue. It's just kind of where I saw that today on the university press release and our own, and it seems sort of like a really effective did it about a face. So I'm just wondering what happened there.
President Kuzmu.
Thanks for the question. This was kind of the deal made at the 11th hour. We had our judicial review. We're going to essentially go to court and judicial review and have the judge review it. Only, I think it was supposed to be scheduled for sometime in May. And that was essentially the last chance that they had before this was actually finally pursued. So it was an 11th hour deal, and it was pretty much the only chance that they had to actually defend this from being fully flushed out. So that's why it's kind of. So your wish that they were as cooperative as they were, couple days ago, last time, so you can save yourself a lot of resources. But at the end of the day, it's we're saving up ourselves, both institutions and the US, who have the time and resources. And this is just the best interest of everyone. So, if you ask any questions, I'll leave
thank you. And just to clarify, I think everyone heard President Kuzmu there, but if you can't hear President Kuzmu because we don't have mics, again, rise on a point of personal privilege. Just shout up and tell me, don't shout up, but just tell me that, and we'll ask the speaker to speak louder or come up to the microphone or whatever the case may be. Councillor Hanwell.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for Vice President Woods. So I recently heard that you were talking about cause, and the previous now executive director, Duncan, left, and from what I understand is now the director of advocacy at Grand Procurement. But that's beside the point. I'm wondering what you guys are planning to do to find a new executive director, especially someone who has the same tenure kind of experience that, or plethora of experience that Duncan.
And again, I would encourage, just a friendly reminder that you could ask what is the Vice President External planning on doing to do this. Anyway, Vice President, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you very much for the question, Councillor Hanwell. So, very recently, the Executive Director, which is essentially the only employee of the Council of Alberta University students, decided to take a job with the Graduate Student Association, essentially working as a Research Director. He had been with us for, I think, 10 years. He'd been with us for a very long time. He was very experienced at what he did. He will be greatly missed. However, this is also an opportunity. It's given us an opportunity as cause to kind of review the employment structure and look at some of the negatives as to why, essentially what can be improved to ensure that employees stay around, even though Duncan was with us for a very long time. There will be a hiring process that's already begun. There's been some advertisements that have gone out. It's going to be handled by, for those of you who don't know, the Council of Alberta University Students is the provincial lobby group between ourselves, the University of Lethbridge Students Union, and the University of Calgary Students Union. We're already all working to select a new executive director. It should be done sometime early this summer, we're optimistic about. Depends on how many applications we get. The hiring process is, for the most part, being handled by, of course, us, the students, as well as our own Director of Research and Political Affairs, Justin Williams, and his counterpart at Calgary, Andrew Bowen. So either way, there will be a new executive director hired before the end of the summer. Regarding your question about experience, will it be somebody who's experienced at Duncan? Probably not. But nonetheless, we will find somebody capable. I'm sure somebody of experience with advocacy will apply, and I will inform council about a new executive director that's been hired by cause. And please ask a follow-up question if you have details available. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Councillor Molnarski.
This question is directed at President Kuzma. I was just wondering if he's able to provide any details as to the settlement with the
question. In regards to the terms, I think we have some of the details summarized online. We can actually email it out. So I'll get on that ASAP. Yeah, in terms of the terms, there are five main sections. The biggest one was in regards to consultation, and that's having a third party mediate with ourselves in the university and try to come to a consensus on what consultation means, and that will be moving forward. The other part of it is we're going to be getting some data that we've been requesting from the university about alcohol incidents. The other part of it is that there will be an opportunity for us to provide our feedback on the recent changes, and also not only last year, but for next year as well. And we have it all online, actually. So that's kind of the major point. So if you go to our, if you go to suw.alberta.ca, you can go out in the new section and you can find some of the details. So the major points. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Redman.
Just a point of clarification on the executive. I probably should appeal out of this stuff. That's okay. I'm just wondering, is that executive person representing all three universities, or is he new to UC Alberta?
Presuming that's Vice President Woods.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, there will be a presentation, I believe, at Council Retreat on our different lobbying groups that we as the U of A partake in. A good way to put it is that it's not smart of the Vice President of the Journal and the University of Alberta Students Union as a whole to lobby on its own. It's really good if you combine yourself with other like-minded universities. U of A, U of C, and U of L are the three research intensive universities in Alberta. So we formed a lobby group, and we decided that we were going to lobby together in a lot of cases and kind of make our own policies and make our own lobbying grounds. So the executive director is for cause, which is the official collaboration of those three students' unions. There's also CASA, which Mr. President and I will be going to in a few weeks here, and that's there's even more schools. I think there's, what, how many member schools? There's 26 member schools in CASA from across Canada. So it just goes to show that, you know, it's good when student associations stick together, especially federally, because, I mean, I can't exactly be going to Ottawa every month. That'd be really expensive. So it's good to work together with other schools. So hopefully that answers your question. And again, feel free to ask Mark if you have a follow-up.
Thank you. Ms. Wade?
This question is directed to the president. I was just looking for an update on the budget cut conversation with the Students' Union and the Prince of
Wales.
Thanks. Thanks for the question. Crossing way.
Generally, just when someone's proxying, we would just refer to them as Mr. or Ms. Just to.
Anyways, in regards to the conversation that's ongoing, we should. Two things. First of all, we just got back from our executive retreat, and again, this is kind of day one. Moving forward, we do plan to sustain our conversations with the principals and the board with these kinds of things to them. We did have last year's executive had a meeting with the minister, the week before our executive retreats, and there was a lot of interesting talks about what the cuts are going to be moving forward. He said he's looking forward and optimistic about budget, next year's budget, but again, that's that. More importantly, is kind of seeing how the university is going to deal with those cuts. There's been some recent news about that and about the university making some TA cuts, etc., and I don't have more information about that. However, I had the opportunity to meet with the board chair and meet him exchange some words about how we move forward on next year. But again, in regards to range of budget cuts, we're still kind of moving on forward. Adam is going to be handling the
Vice President Woods.
Vice President Woods is going to be handling their talks with Rich Corpus. Vice President Chell is going to be doing a lot of the work with the university in terms of how this is going to happen. Vice President Lau is going to be making sure that frontline services don't get necessarily slaughtered or cut. And Vice President Lay is going to make sure that he can digest the numbers for us. but that's essentially it. That's still going to be a huge priority for us. So, yeah. And I think we'll defer our next speaker to Vice President Chow.
Thank you, Ms. Wei. So, the question I'm not going to send out takes around 6 minutes. Silly. in terms of what's progressed since the last time we've updated council internally, the university is in a state where it's making decisions right now. The provosts has sent letters to each of the faculties as well as unit heads, so people that manage technology on campus of the libraries, explaining what their budget cut is for the 13-14 academic year, and that's the year that starts May 1st. And this year it's been identified that there are vertical cuts or uneven cuts across faculties. So, for example, ALS may get a 2% cut while science gets an 8% cut. That's just an example. Those have only been communicated to deans right now, deans and unit heads. Those haven't been communicated widely. It's the responsibility of those people to determine how to communicate the specifics of the cuts. All that we know so far is that law library has reduced hours. The Faculty of Nursing is restricting enrollment in its after degree undergraduate program, and something about a U.S. Centering institute being closed down on the brief. So that's the most official information we have. We've heard records of, we've heard from sources that TA funding may be cut in science and arts in particular, but nothing official communicated on that yet. So that's internally what we're getting word of, looking forward to being able to update you more in the future. And I'll defer to Vice President Woods.
Thank you.
I'll just show your stopwatch up here so that you can answer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I should time here. This is pretty quick. Well, the budget cuts are certainly going to be a big priority this year. It's also, it's not exactly sure what's going to happen at this point, and we'll obviously, and I as Vice President, certainly going to continue lobbying to ensure we get funding back. However, we've also heard, and this is definitely not confirmed, it's just hearsay at this point, that they might be opening up the post-secondary revenue act, which would be absolutely huge. It would mean that we would have a number of great opportunities to really change the way post-secondary is handled in Alberta, be able to change the rules of how the university deals with us. And if that happens, then there's going to be a whole lot of other priorities we're going to deal with as well. With that being said, we will always be working on receiving funding back from the government. But this year is likely going to be a very busy year for the advocacy end of the Students' Union if we continue upon the trend that we've seen so far.
Thank you. Vice President Lay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the CAT Chair of the Board. Why is it important for council to attend the council retreat?
Thank you, President Lee. Back to Cooper Retreat. Get free food. It's at an awesome camp and not a platoon. Get to spend the weekend with the executive. And I don't know who else is coming for sure, but I know that's a handle on everyone, so that's for everyone. And you'll learn lots of stuff, like a little more in depth on Robert's Rules, diversity, conflict management, law, council. So I think that this is a big, very in depth schedule that Super Discover Government and Vice President John worked on. If you want to
what I'll state is that it's really important for you to attend the joint SU-FA retreat on May 24th. Number one, it's your opportunity to build long-lasting relationships with your faculty associations, the student groups that have on-the-ground understanding of key issues for students and your faculty. Number two, it's a great time to talk to lecturers as a council of what your goals are for the SU and tangible ways you can pursue those goals as a collective over the course of the year. And third, it's a great professional development opportunity for experts to come in and talk about sponsorship, social media, conflict management, good governance. And lastly, you're going to spend lots of time with each other over the course of the year. As the Gateway will remember, we have had some pretty late nights, and so now's a good opportunity to build some good friendships and some bonds so that working relationship progresses nicely over the course of the year. So please come out, it'll be good for me.
Thank you. Councillor Hodgson, and there's only about 2 minutes left, so I recommend a quick question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for President Kuzmu. I was wondering, in the agreement we reached with the university, what prevents them from basically doing the same thing they did last time with regards to changes in the university?
Thanks for the question. I think the major win from this is, again, the first part of our agreements, and that's, again, the first consultation aspect of it. With us being able to see eye to eye, and us being able to say, hey, we have a mediated agreement on what this is, what consultation would mean, and how we're going to move forward, I think that's going to be a huge piece of it. Also, in our meetings, kind of the idea, something really good to keep in mind is South Campus. So what happened was, in the development of South Campus, there's some disputes between the university and the local community in regards to that, and the local community is making the case that there's a lack of consultation. They were actually going to take the university to court. They eventually settled and they resolved the issue. But they have an extensive consultation process as a result. And we're hoping the same thing can happen with us. The university has such an extensive consultation framework for itself and another community. Then we see, you know, why it would be the same with the students and the university itself. So we're hoping that, my personal hope is for a similar result for that to happen, and that issues like this wouldn't happen. Those are some of the kind of very tangible things of how we ensure that this doesn't replay itself.
Thank you very much, President Kuzmu. With that, the first 15 minutes of question period have lapsed, so we will close question period unless I see 5 placards raised right now to extend for another 15 minutes. I see 1. Is there 4 more? I see lots now, so we will extend until 7:45, so I will continue on in my speakers list. Councillor Hanlon.
Oh, cool. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thanks for extending it. I'll try and go quick. So this is for President Kuzmu. Feel free to defer it. It kind of relates to this visit, but it's kind of relates to this visit channel as well. But in regards to government funding, recently they funded like $10 million, right, to 3 institutions, $3 million for mental health. Having it in UVA over 3 years, awesome, great. I'm wondering, though, now with the budget cuts, is that just going to be another drop into the operating budget that students will never see? And that's just not, like, it's not actually going to come to fruition. And if you have any plans to kind of advocate that it's used in the way that it's meant to be.
Okay. I'll refer partly to Vice President Chung to see what's made a comment. But it's from my understanding that the universities were given a dedicated amount of funds for specific initiatives, and as a result, they can't all of a sudden say, oh, BT Dubs, like, I want to reallocate some of this money that they gave us to, you know, to make up for the funding shortfall. So I think there's that restriction that they have. But I don't know, is there anything you have for BT Dubs or that?
Yeah, I mean, this is just anecdotal information, is that they've already made limits on the use of that funding, for example, increasing our the health and wellness team, as well as funding more psychiatrists and psychologists working in satellite locations, places living in the past, like this, for example. The university, Associate Dean of Students, Dr. Rob Dambo, presented to Council last year, is also in the process of writing a report on how these funds will be spent, and that's another way that us as students can hold the university accountable to making the best use of those $3 million. So I expect to see a report to Council on student health in the near future, and then maybe it would be worthwhile to have Dr. Everall, the Associate Dean of Students, come back and present to Council and student health. I'll defer to Mr. Woods, okay?
Thank you. Councillor Hodgson, do you have another question? Nope. Okay, that exhausts my speakers list, so unless there's any other questions, we will end question period. Okay, so ended. With that, we will move on to board and committee business. Item 6A, Lei Chellen moved that Students' Council, on the recommendation of the Executive Committee, approve the addendum to the Memorandum of Agreement and Understanding between the Students' Union and Student Care. There is an attached document in the order paper. Vice President Lei to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I feel like I've talked further this meeting, but I'll keep it short for the introduction and I'll elaborate further in the tweet. We're in year 4 out of 5 of our health and dental plan is provided by Student Care, and we're looking to renew that because they've done a good job. And I'll elaborate more during this debate.
Thank you, Vice President Lei. I will open the floor up to debate. As I said, the mover also has the first opportunity to debate, so I'm just going to open it up to debate, but if I see the mover's hand go up first, I will certainly provide them the opportunity to debate first. So I will open the floor to debate. Did I see Vice President Lei's hand go up? Okay, Vice President Lei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, once again. First of all, Mr. Speaker has already introduced our general manager, but I'd like to introduce to Council Michelle, the general manager of the student team, is the mastermind behind the operations of the Students' Union. As we went on our executive retreat, we have learned and appreciated more so how TSC did not run without one of our key permanent staff working with Michelle. So just wanted to introduce him to Council. So I think this is the first time we're being introduced, so I just wanted to be But yes, the health and dental plan. So the health and dental plan, it started in the 2009-2010 year, and it's a health and dental insurance plan for students to get a reduced rate, to get a pretty good health plan. Traditionally, the SU has been pretty resistant to getting the health and dental plan, but then we got Student Care to get a pretty good deal for us because they really wanted to work with the Students' Union. So we're one of the only, actually we're the only institution in Canada to have the universal opt-out option, so that's very unique, and so it's something you guys should appreciate. For those who don't know it, in September, that's usually the opt-out rate, or opt-out time, and yeah, keep your eye on that. If you do use it, you get a lot of great stuff. So the updated version of the addendum is in the late edition, so it just has grammatical changes, and there aren't any real material differences from the one in the main addendum. So we'd like to keep doing that. We're looking to renew the health and dental plan on essentially the same terms as in the 2009-2010 year. But what has changed since then? Student Care, they've done a really good job, and it's on the recommendation of the previous year's committee that the current committee adopted, and that's why it has to go through council, because you guys are the final step to get this through. But what has happened since then? Student Care, they found us a new insurer, Desjardins, and they have effectively saved us $550,000 this year, and
another $550,000 next year to a total of $1.1 billion because we got secured some good premium rates. And going forward, they estimate that we're going to have $100,000 ongoing in savings compared to the rest of the providers. And last year, the EIO, the External Information Officer, who happens to be our lovely Vice President External, Adam Woods, he did research comparing all the student care or student health and dental plan providers across Canada, and we're pretty much getting the best rate that you can for what we pay. And I think they found that there was a pretty strong correlation with how much you pay and what you get, and we're pretty much there smack dab in the middle. But we're the only ones that get the universal opt-out, and so that's a very positive thing there. And so in this upcoming negotiation, what has changed? It's all relatively positive. The student care, they're going to be covering costs for the automatic fee assessment. And what that is, when students enroll in January, instead of manually having to enroll in the program, they're just automatically enrolled in the health and dental plan. And then the variable credits, that is when you have one of the middle opts, or you opt out of a part of the plan, so you get credit back. They'll be bearing that cost and absorbing it instead of the students union or the university doing that. So that's one other positive. They have an office in the lower level sub, and it's that green one between InfoLink and the SRC group offices over in that corner. And we're looking to move them up to the sixth floor, and they're going to cover the cost of renovating the sixth floor when we move them, if the council approves it to move them up. And so we'll be looking to invest $60,000 to $100,000 in the renovating costs. On top of that, they agreed to donate $40,000 to the renovation project. As you guys know, SUB is being renovated. We're hoping to break ground this summer, and they've agreed to donate that. And it's in memory of Bill Smith, who is the former Mark Huchnell. And he's done a really great job with SU, and he's one of the reasons why we have the Health and Dental Plan along with Mark. So they're charging the same rate as we initially agreed in 2009-2010, and so we're getting more for the same price, essentially. I think that is all. Oh yeah, but the reason why we're bringing up to council is that we're, as I said before, we're planning to move them up to the sixth floor, and we want to secure the blueprints for the sixth floor because that'll become the governance center as well as the health and dental plan office, and we just want to, you know, to be respectful of the contractors and get them up so we can move the renovations forward. And I believe that is all. If the general manager would like to speak.
Sure.
In the 5 seconds left.
Oh.
Okay, and just so you noted, in case you didn't see before, as you get closer to your 2 or 3 minutes, that dog will stop. In fact, I'll just leave the stopwatch up here now so you can see where you are with that. Vice President Woods.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to, having done a lot of research on this the past year, I just want to take the opportunity to kind of talk about the plan itself. I won't take that long, and then I'll defer the rest of my time to the General Manager so that he can have a speaking point. So why, I guess kind of the question is, why would we want to continue with this company? As Vice President of Operations and Finance mentioned, there is really a correlation when you look at the different companies that provide insurance to students' unions, a correlation between price and coverage, and that, you know, you'd expect that, and how much you pay for what you get type deal. Now, the one great thing about the company that we're with right now is that we pay around average rates for, we're looking across Canada at the big U15 research schools who pays the most. We're about right in the middle of the pack. And furthermore to that, we actually get some of the most extensive coverage in the country. I would actually argue myself that we get one of the best, if not the best, health and dental plan in Canada for that reason. So when you look at it, the way it's done is you get percentage of coverages. So let's assume that you need dental work done. Student care provides you 70% of coverage. for dental care in that area. And there are certain areas, there are certain groups that provide 100% coverage, but they don't tend to offer coverage in as many areas as this group does. You guys all, if you go traveling and you hurt yourselves, you guys get, I think it's around $1 million worth of travel insurance at your disposal in case something goes terribly wrong. This group also has a lot of coverage towards practitioners. So you guys probably didn't know this, but if you guys go to an approved student care practitioner, you can get a half-hour massage for like $10. I thought that was a pretty useful tidbit there. Moral of the story is not only are they providing us what I would consider phenomenal coverage for average price, but they're obviously willing to provide us with more when we ask. Like when, you know, this whole donation thing came up and they said, yeah, we'll give some money towards your upcoming renovation. Like it shows that they're committed to our students union. It shows that they're willing to continue doing business with us. And given the rates that they provide us, I just want to... obviously, council is more than obliged to ask questions and then ask for more details, but this is definitely something that would be good for us in this union, I would say. And I'll defer the rest of my time to Michelle.
The reason this is coming forward now, it's a year in advance of the completion of the original term, has to do a lot to do with the renovation. One of the things with the plan is that, and from the concept of the plan, is to provide a place on campus where students can go to access information and assistance, and that's part of the contract. The problem is, because we're basically going to wait them out their office a year early, we wanted to have a conversation with them about how we could recreate their office and us not have to pay for it. So we had a conversation with them, and they said, sure, we'd be happy to do that. We'd like working with you, but we'd like an extension. And we said, okay, we'll do an extension, but you've got to give us some more stuff. And that's basically what you see in front of you. The timeliness of it has to do with the fact that in order for our renovation to progress in a timely manner, we want to finalize our sixth floor blueprints, construction drawings, so we can send them to tender. And our target deadline for that is May 15th. So we kind of want to get this lined up now so that we can provide some assurance to all parties that this is the way that we're going to proceed.
Thank you. Thank you. And to give you a little bit of an idea of sort of how debate can go to, you know, obviously when it's your speaking term debate, you can present your opinion, you can present points for or against a motion. You can also, it's not like question period where you can necessarily sort of direct a question towards someone, like, you know, can Vice President Lay, you know, answer this sort of question type of thing. It's not like he would get the next speaking turn to answer it or something like that, but you can sort of throw a question out there and then we'll continue on in the speaking order as we normally would, and if someone chooses to answer it, then they can certainly answer it just sort of as a hypothetical question on the floor, if you will. And then, of course, while someone's speaking, there is also that point of information. If you want a clarification of something they just said, you can sort of ask a clarification question during their speaking turn. Once their turn is over, you're not able to use a point of information, and it has to be directed at the person that had the speaking turn. So with that, is there any further debate on this item? Further debate? Seeing none, unless Vice President Lay...
I'll just do one last speaking thing, but as a council, I think it's very important to think about long-term vision, the big picture of what we should do as a student union and what we want for our students, because ultimately that's what we're here for. And to be able to provide the students with an affordable and effective health and dental plan to give coverage to those who might not be able to access it otherwise, and that's very key. And I think we're doing a very great service for our members and our membership when we approve things like these. So this is a very big win for the students union and for our students council. So we pat ourselves all on the back. Assuming this passes, I hope. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Councillor Bannister?
Hello. This is just a question to the floor. Just to make sure that everyone has been informed decision on this matter, what are any foreseeable disadvantages that could be a result of this passing?
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a question before. One of the executive can answer it. What are some of the changes from the previous memorandum of understanding? But I was just wondering if you could outline any other specific differences, or is the main difference between the previous one and the new one just the
fact that the renovation is happening, they are getting and stealing their own renovation in their office and the donation of that.
Thank you. Mr. Dumichel.
First, to address Councillor, can I directly address the question, Mr. Speaker?
Yeah, you can certainly get it.
To address Councillor Bannister's question, what's the downside of doing this? The downside is that we're not going back to a full RFP and what request for proposals. So that means we're not evaluating competitive bids. We have reviewed and renegotiated a deal with the existing vendor. There is the possibility that we may have received a better bid coming from someone else. We on the balance of probabilities, do not believe that would be the case. Point one. Point two. The term of our contract is actually fairly short by the standard of these plans around the country. Point three. We have some information when student care, our provider, has been put up against other insurers, as they were through a rigorous process a year ago with UBC, who they've been with for over a decade at that point. They were victorious, so to speak. Fourth, I would say that they've demonstrated solid performance your premiums next year would be $20 to $30 higher if they hadn't secured this $1 million over 2 years savings. And we got that as a rate guarantee as well. So even if the insurance company loses their shirts this year, they can't charge us anymore for another year. That's the first one. I am terrible at names. You need to know that up front. I am awful. What are we getting out of this? They're going to do free development and lobby reimbursement on our behalf to make two practical improvements to the program that we have. We have retained the fee, so even as their staff costs and that go up, our fees have not changed, and they are bearing a capital cost of between $1,600,000 to relocate and refinish their office. In addition, although technically separate from this, they have committed to give between $40,000 and $50,000 in capital improvements to SUD. So we felt that was a pretty good deal. Last year's president pushed me to negotiate hard with them. It was not a fine time for me, but I'm pretty comfortable that we've got a good deal at the end of the year.
Thank you, Mr. Dumichel. Vice President Lau.
Thank you. To address Councillor Bannister's I second Mr. Dumichel's point that we are simply limiting our options or excluding all options. However, I think we are really, really lucky, I guess, to be with student care. From the communications that I've had with student care along with my husband, it's really interesting because the creators or the founders of student care were previous student union executives as well. So they have a background of understanding students and our needs, and they are relatively young. And it was really easy to communicate with them, and they really, really knew what students we knew about. Their insurance broker that deals specifically with student populations, and because of that, they tailor their processes to us. For example, it's not often that you have insurance brokers that allow students to opt out, and we're really lucky that every student can not only opt out of the plan, but can also tailor the plan to, for example, if you only want health insurance, but you don't want dental, vision, or travel. We have that option. Additionally, I think another benefit of student care is that we've already gone through the rigorous process of pretty much integrating their system into the UVA's admission system. And because of that, they have access to every student's personal information. And that's a really important and really difficult process for a lot of different folks to work through. And now that that system's already set, I believe it's safe to receive a lot of money to process again with another broker. Not saying that we will never switch brokers in the future, but at this time, I guess with budget cuts and everything, we are comfortable with what we have. They're also really interested in increasing their marketing over the next few years to increase their impact on campus. And I think we really should give them that chance to just really maybe to provide more for students.
Thank you. Councillor Schiavone, is that the correct? Schiavone, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to favor the motion, and I also have got two questions at this point. How long is the contract extension that we're talking about, and when was the last time that we did go to full RFPs? Because I know that was sensitive to me, and the benefits you can potentially get.
Thank you very much. Any further debate? Mr. Dumichel?
This is my second and last week meeting, so I hope that there's any other questions. I'm not allowed. We did the last RFP in, it actually was going on right when I started my job, so that was in the fall of 2008, winter of 2009. We've been with them for 4 years. The base of this contract, of this extension, would extend that contract up to a 9-year total. So it'd be 9 years between RFPs. Sorry. Oh, yes, that was an option for two, but there's no compelling reason for us to do that. There is one other thing I would note that is a slight advantage to the current arrangement, is that we share the costs of running our on-campus office with grad students because we have the same provider. So they pay a share, so that lowers our costs a little further. One thing we do have to do long term is we have to try to synchronize our, and I'll be honest with you, student care is going to try to not have us synchronize our terms with the GSA. We're going to push the GSA to have a synchronous term with us so that we go for RFP in the same year. So, and they just resign.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dumichel. And before I proceed, just sort of to add to a comment that Mr. Dumichel made, you'll note that quite often when questions are placed on the floor, they're often picked up by members of the executive. As we mentioned, everyone only has two speaking turns, so it's perhaps beneficial, not to sort of skew debate here, but it's perhaps beneficial for if you have multiple questions and you've noticed that one of the executives have already had their speaking turn, that you get your question in before they get their next speaking turn in. And if they see placards up and it's their turn to go, they can certainly defer their speaking turn as well if they so choose. But just if there's no placards up for someone else to ask a question, I'm going to continue on the list. So there may be a little bit of sort of strategic ordering there to ensure we can continue. There are some other avenues we can explore if someone ever needs more than a second speaking turn, and I can explain those to anyone that needs such just by rising to the parliamentary inquiry. In the meantime, we will continue on. Councillor Milinarski.
This question is to the floor. Mr. Dumichel just mentioned that the way the contract works is that unless termination, like notice of termination, is given prior to 2018, it will extend automatically to 2020. And you said that there's no real reason to do that. So is it an option just to change before of the memorandum of agreement just ended on 2018. And the reason I ask that is because it seems like it's the onus on the SU to actually terminate it. And if somebody drops the ball with that, it'll get extended for another 2 years without reevaluating maybe more competitive options.
Thank you. Any further debate? Vice President Chellen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if Mr. Dumichel said necessarily that it wasn't an option to extend after 2018 and then while knocking on the wood, that I highly doubt that the SU will drop the ball of not extending the contract for another 2 years if students come to the SU do decide. So we've got Mr. Dumichel to the ball, we'll show him that. There's, I think, a significant benefit of including that 2 year extension in this memorandum of agreement. It allows us to maintain the current broker rates that were essentially the broker rates that we negotiated back in 2008, which is a strong point to be able to move that for 7 years. There's also incentive for us to re-sign those additional 2 years if they've agreed to a $10,000 grant for a particular space in the letter of intent that they've submitted in the regulations 1301-02. So there's certainly incentive to extend those additional 2 years. So certainly other people drop the ball and think it's a worthwhile piece to include in the agreement. That's hopefully a good thing.
Thank you. Councillor Hanwell.
This is a question.
Okay, there's a motion to call to question. And just to clarify, when you want to call to question, you actually don't have to wait for the speakers list if you don't want. Just once someone has finished speaking before I announce the next person, you can just say call to question. So Councillor Hanwell is calling to question. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Borden, thank you. So again, what this vote is basically is to decide whether we should immediately go to a vote or whether we should continue debating. So voting in favor of calling to question doesn't necessarily mean you vote in favor of the question. It just and same on the inverse, it just means that you're voting to end debate and then proceed directly to a vote on the question. Is there any confusion on that? Okay, seeing none, we have a motion, Councillor Hanwell, Councillor Borden, to move the previous question. That's not debatable, not amendable, and requires a two-thirds majority vote. So there's no debate on this. We just proceed directly to a vote on whether to call the question. So all those in favor of calling the question? Any opposed? Okay, that motion is carried. So with that, we will now proceed to the vote on the actual item. So item 6A, Leigh Chellen moved that Students' Council on the recommendation of the Executive Committee approve the addendum to the Memorandum of Agreement and Understanding between the Students' Union and Student Care. So now we're voting on the actual motion. So all those in favor of item 6A? All those opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Moving on. Since we have dealt with all of the general order items as nominations previously, that leads us to the end of our agenda, so I would look favorably upon a motion to adjourn. Vice President Lay, thank you very much. Seconded by Councillor Borden. All those in favor of adjournment, please raise your placards. Any opposed? That motion is carried. We are adjourned at 7:58 p.m. Thank you very much. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Before, ladies and gentlemen, before we adjourn, thank you for arriving on that point of order. We actually have to take attendance first. So if you guys could just stay seated for just a moment so we can get through this. President Kuzmu.
Here.
Vice President Chellen.
President.
Vice President Woods.
Present.
Vice President Lay.
Present.
Vice President Lau. Governor Kelly, Ms. Wade for Councillor Battelle, Councillor Borden, Councillor Mills, Councillor Hanwell, Councillor Bannister, Councillor Schiavone, is that right? Schiavone, thank you. Councillor Mohammed, Councillor Gruelke, Councillor Milonarski, is it Milonarski or
Milonarski?
Minarski, thank you. Councillor Valdez.
Present.
Councillor Corbett.
Present.
Councillor Redmond.
Present.
Councillor Mercier. Councillor Hammond. Councillor Morris. Councillor Nguyen.
Here.
Councillor Champagne is still with us. Councillor Speakman.
Here.
Councillor Hodgson.
Here.
Councillor Huang.
Here.
Councillor Zhang.
Yes.
Councillor Grayhan, Councillor Bintik, Councillor Douglas.
Yep.
I am here, and Mr. Dumichel is here. Okay, we are adjourned at 7:59. Thank you very much.